Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, under new guidelines being proposed, parents will be asked to consent to their child being put on a reduced timetable. This requirement will outline that any shorter days or reduced hours of teaching offered to a child will be proportionate. This comes amid warnings that vulnerable children may be primarily impacted by reduced timetables based on their behaviour and could face being left behind. Well, Carl O'Brien, education editor with the Irish Times, joins us with more on this story alongside Adam Harris, CEO of As I Am. And thank you both very much for joining us this evening. And Carl, I'll come to yourself first. You might tell us about just about these reduced timetables. How problematic have they been?
Yeah, so campaigners will say that there are many vulnerable students out there, particularly those with special needs or traveller children or children from disadvantaged backgrounds, who are at a much higher risk of being placed on these shortened school days. And they can often be as short as just an hour a day. And schools are typically using these to control or to manage children's behaviour where it becomes disruptive for the wider class. Now, the extent of the practice is unclear. That's because schools are not obliged to record the numbers on shortened days. But anecdotally, certainly campaigners say that they are aware of more cases of this kind. And of course, it's controversial, you know, because it's they will argue that, campaigners, that is, will argue that it's limiting a child's education. They'll say it's not monitored by any outside agency. So, for example, TUSLA, which monitors expulsions and suspensions, has no role formally in this. It's not monitoring the numbers of children on these reduced timetables. But then schools, on the other hand, will say that, we don't have the resources to support the often complex needs of very vulnerable children. And they say, we are doing this in the best interests of children, for them to get whatever support there might be and for them to re-enter the classroom.
I know that you reported on one case in particular, a five-year-old boy, and the impact that the reduced hours timetable has had on him. It's an extraordinary case. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, this is a story which really illustrates how oftentimes there are underlying issues at the root of what's seen as troublesome behaviour. So this was a five-year-old boy, you know, we're calling him Connor, not his real name, but he was put on a shortened school day just 5 months after starting junior infants. Now, the first concerns were raised by a teacher when he was seen as being rough in the playground and had difficulty following instructions. And according to his father, the teacher said that, you know, the child wasn't colouring inside the lines like he was supposed to. And you know, the parents were baffled at this. They didn't have any indication that there was a problem outside of school and extracurricular activities. And then they say they were shocked when in February that the school announced that it was putting their child on a shortened school day from about 9 in the morning till 11:15. And they've talked about the way that not only impacted, obviously, on the child, but the whole family. They say their lives were turned upside down, both in a work sense, but also in a sense of questioning themselves, thinking, what have we missed here? What had happened? Are we missing some major developmental issue? Ultimately, they appealed the decision, and the school was forced to put the child back into school. And they found, when they got the child assessed, they also found that he was profoundly long-sighted. So he's having real difficulties in class following what was happening. And therapists concluded that a lot of his behaviour was school-specific. It wasn't happening outside of school, that it was a coping mechanism to deal with stress and anxiety from moving from a Montessori into a much more teacher-led formal environment in junior infants.
So very typical
sort of things that can happen. Yeah,
very typical behavioural problems in that instance then, because a lot of children would obviously experience that type of stress and anxiety. Just finally then, Carl, guidelines are still to come on this from government, are they?
Yeah, so we're told guidelines will be issued imminently, and when they do, they'll apply to all schools. And there's three or four new features to this. You know, first is, as you said at the outset, schools are going to have to obtain parental consent if they're going to place any pupil on a shortened school day. That hasn't been the case always up until now. Also, you know, reduced hours will have to be used not as a sanction or a tool to manage behaviour. They'll have to be used as a measure of last resort. And they'll also have to be used in conjunction with a plan to to bring a child back to full hours within the school. And also, finally, they'll have to notify TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, if a child's timetable has been reduced, and to explain those reasons why. So the real aim is clarity and consistency, and ensuring that the child's best interests are at the heart of any decisions affecting them.
All right, Carl O'Brien, Education Editor with the Irish Times, thank you very much for that. And as I said, we're also joined by Adam Harris, CEO of As I Am. And Adam, thank you very much for joining us. Are children, I assume children with autism are affected by this and are having to accept reduced hours for themselves, or parents are having to accept reduced hours for their children?
Indeed. So as Carl has alluded to, a wide range of vulnerable groups are affected by this issue, and the Children's Rights Alliance, among others, have highlighted this. However, the problem has been particularly acute for children on the autism spectrum, with up to a third of autistic students thought to be placed at a reduced timetable at some stage during their educational journey. So this has been a massive impact because, of course, what we're talking about is the children with the greatest level of need receiving the least level of support. Obviously, constitutionally, every child has a right to an education. What we're seeing is the children with additional needs are often not getting an appropriate education. And what's often happening is what people who maybe have not received the appropriate training are branding as negative behaviour is actually children who are having unmet needs within the school environment. And we're not seeing a situation where those needs are being reflected on and planned for, but instead are being treated in the same way and often under the same policy at schools, a code of behaviour that governs, you know, a child who's smoking behind the sheds, as opposed to recognising that this is a significant need directly linked to a person's diagnosis.
And what do you think then of what Carl is saying there about what the schools are saying, which is that they simply don't have the resources in some instances to support sometimes complex needs of vulnerable children. So it's in everybody's best interests that the children are on reduced timetables in those instances.
I think, unfortunately, in a lot of issues within our education system, what we see is schools and the Department of Education pass the buck from one to the other. So you'd hear from the department, we appropriately resource schools. You'd hear from schools, we don't have the resources that we need. I think what we need to realise is to address this issue, we need both partners to come to the table. That is to say that it's simply not acceptable that the resources within our education system are not enough to meet the needs of children with additional needs. This is going to remain a problem as long as we operate the rights of children with additional needs in the classroom on a grace and favour basis. There has been legislation, the EPSIN Act was passed in 2004, that specifically will give students the supports they need in the classroom. However, this situation has never been commenced. So we have a reality that children, everything they receive from the state is on a grace and favour as opposed to a rights-based basis. However, on the same point, there is a lot of resources in the system for special education needs that schools themselves are responsible for allocating and managing. The policy document that underpins that is a continuum of support. That means that the children with the greatest level of support receive support first before you provide support elsewhere. What we seem to be seeing to reduce timetables is a scenario that those with the greatest level of need are simply removed as opposed to receiving the help they need.
Okay. Just finally then, Carl outlined the guidelines that we're expecting from government to be published shortly in relation to this. For example, the schools would have to obtain parental consent before putting in place reduced timetables, that this would be an action of last resort rather than an additional sanction, and other guidelines also. Do you think that will go any way towards resolving the situation?
So first of all, I think we'd welcome the guidelines, which are long overdue. I think the fact that we're talking about a last resort is important because very often we've seen children placed on reduced timetables on their very first day in the classroom. However, I think what we just need to be conscious of is the ecosystem this issue exists within. The idea of a parent giving consent, there's a huge power dynamic involved in that because what we will often see is a parent told, if you do not consent to a reduced timetable, we will move to suspend or expel your child. We're seeing a situation in the context of COVID-19, and this has been well documented, that the needs of children with additional needs have increased exponentially over the course of the lockdown. What we need to make sure is that in regulating reduced timetables, we don't see an increase in suspension and expulsion. So what we really need to see is reform of the Education Welfare Act to make sure the codes of behaviour and punitive processes such as suspensions and expulsions are never substitutes for meeting the needs of students with additional needs in the classroom.
All right, Adam Harris, thank you very much for joining us with that. That's Adam Harris, CEO of As I Am.
Thanks, Sarah.